the teaching. Mother Church wishes to place on our hearts with today's Exodus account could not be more stark or timely. Do not wrong the stranger among you. Must I remind you that you too had no home under the Egyptian taskmasters? Do not impose or abuse the widow or the widower and orphan. Don't apply any more grief and loneliness on this already suffering people. Behave responsibly as though belonging to another and better society. Do you sense a fracture in humankind's social constructs even before the pandemic hits? Can isolationism from our brothers and sisters move us near to God? Or does it only scare us towards caves once again? Social order, brothers and sisters, clearly communicates from God an ordained system. A human organizational system held together and sustained, especially given to us out of love and compassion. And it's sustained by love and compassion and mercy, and especially for the poor and the marginalized. Care and justice represent the starting point from which we come to understand responsible citizenship. A young person that I know needing a COVID test was asked by AHS to produce some photo ID. And when she retrieves and examines her passport from safekeeping, her face lights up as she flips through the pages with fond memories. Well, she asked me why my passport looked different. And I told her some people hold dual citizenship and carry multiple nationalities. A little bewildered with the explanation, she said, "I thought we all belonged in the kingdom of God." And Deacon Tom begins to scramble, calling on the Holy Spirit to respond on his behalf. So he says, "Yes, indeed, child, we are both correct. With natural birth comes admission into a civil nation and culture. And in baptism, we are enrolled into God's kingdom." The early Thessalonians that we heard from in the second reading this evening figured out that social reality. They embraced and imitated the apostles. What a difference receiving the word in spirit makes in people's lives. This community went from worshiping in chaos and foolishness, all kinds of silly notions, to new life within the mystical body of Christ. In other words, individually and communally, they underwent a conversion from lifeless shells to animated beings of God. Their dual citizenship passport is what Jesus issues to peace-seeking hearts. Well, later in the gospel, we learn Jesus meets up with a high-ranking Pharisee who happens also to be a legal expert. Man steeped in the law of Moses, one of the finest minds in the chamber. He is revered for his outstanding citizenship. The question he brings to Jesus, though, is astonishingly juvenile, minus the curiosity and innocence. His rhetoric intends to trap Jesus. And our Lord has dealt with many of these tests and is not very intimidated by this person's intellect. In fact, how could anyone, religious or otherwise, stumble with such an easy question? Which commandment is the greatest? Like, come on. Is that the best you've got? Jesus might have said to him. We assume by greatest he means most critical, that it be adhered to and followed. Jesus stirs his memory, just as the Father does for the children of Israel along the path of Exodus, and just as surely as does this holy Eucharistic sacrament. The Father and Son repeat to hardened hearts, communally and individually, love the Lord your God, not just with your mind, but with your heart and soul. The mind can spew foolishness when disconnected from the heart and soul. Behave as responsible citizens, Jesus tells the Pharisees, and as children of God's kingdom. These behaviors belong together. Love your neighbor. Well, this is when our sacramental praxis becomes a little more challenging. It's easy to love a God, especially if it's one of our own creation. Everything offered to Moses along the Exodus trail intends to mold a fledgling nation into proper social order. Yeah, Moses only turns his back for a moment, and the people dismiss the one true, beautiful, holy, and good God. Can we count the times when we dismiss God from our public dialogue? The ancient Thessalonians could and sought forgiveness and transformation and received this. Are we less than they? That mercy and conversion are beyond our worthiness or capacity? Everyone needs a little bit more support loving our neighbor. However, Jesus does not send these words into the ears of people for the first time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. That was from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Right at the very beginning of Scripture. You must not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons and daughters of your own people, but you must love your neighbor as yourself. And that's said on the same trip from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Jesus only reiterates the Father's earlier words that were captured by Moses. How we live as co-citizens becomes very much connected to the extent we love God. These practices are inseparable from each other. We do hold dual citizenship in the kingdom of God and the nations of humankind. How do Christians respond when the obligations of one seem to conflict with the other? We are reminded by baptism in every Eucharist to love and demonstrate mercy. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, because doing so reveals the only path to a harmonious social construct. Jesus tells followers again this week, we are to be good citizens. Pray for government officials and leadership. Follow their sensible orders. Article 1888 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, it is necessary then to appeal to the spiritual and moral capacities of the human person and to the permanent need for inner conversion so as to obtain the social changes that will really serve. The acknowledged priority of the conversion of heart in no way eliminates, but on the contrary, imposes the obligation of bringing the appropriate remedies to institutions and living conditions when they are an inducement to sin, so that they conform to the norms of justice and advance the good rather than hinder it. Unquote. I think as visible co-workers of Jesus, we have a monumental task before us, and it begins with recognizing and accepting the challenge first to inner, and from there, societal conversion. Our citizenship in both the kingdom of God and the community of nations depends upon our urgent attention and participation to this matter in these particular days. Amen.